Upland Bible Church,
Pastor Richard J. Olson,
920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, November 24, 2024, Romans.
All right, for all of you who cannot read, we have a change of schedule this week. Classes are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, Tyrone's coming over for Thanksgiving. That's it right there. See? So Thanksgiving, you should understand from the grace and power of God, our living and true God, we have been given a command, grow up in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you fulfill that command and grow up in grace, grace orientation, then every single day will be Thanksgiving for you. God wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day, not just in November. That's how great our God is. You see, when you grow up in grace orientation, you realize God is everything. And we are nothing. All that we have and all that we are is by the grace and the power of God. When you come to that grace orientation, that's when you will have thanksgiving every single day. Man shall not live by grace alone, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our Sunday morning class is a very, very special class. Of course, all the classes are special, but this is very special. This entire chapter is devoted to putting a spotlight on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Because God the Holy Spirit has a totally unique ministry in this dispensation, the church age. We live in the church age, began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. This special dispensation is for the calling out of the royal family of God. And God the Holy Spirit has a ministry in this dispensation He never had in the Old Testament and won't in the after the church age. And that is, He is through the at the moment of salvation, the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells every one of us. He's in our body to counteract the sin nature which is in our body. And that's the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So we have, there never was a universal indwelling of the Spirit before. There never was the possibility for the filling of the Spirit, empowering by the Spirit before. But we have it in this dispensation. It is absolutely phenomenal. The most wonderful grace blessing. And we have in this unique dispensation not only a double portion of eternal life, but a double portion of God's righteousness. And to whom much is given, much is expected. Romans chapter 8. We'll start the corrected translation at verse 1. Therefore, now, there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. There was no baptism of the Spirit before in any other period of history. Totally unique. Verse 2. Because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son, the greatest miracle that this world will ever know, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. In the likeness of sinful flesh, He took on true humanity and atoned for sin, unlimited atonement. He paid for the sins of the whole world. He, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 4, for the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us. The ones who do not walk, do not live according to the sin nature, but we walk and live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Verse 5, for those believers who live according to the sin nature, they keep on setting their mind on the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit-filled life, keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. And that is the God-breathed Scriptures, divine viewpoint, the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. And Paul's just getting warmed up in verses 1 through 5. I'm just getting warmed up myself. There is, in this passage, a great battle. A great battle that is going on in the soul of the believer. And this is a great mental conflict, depending on who controls your soul. As a church-age believer, your soul is either under the control and domination of the sin nature, or by God the Holy Spirit, through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Now, when the old sin nature controls your soul, you think sin, human good, evil, arrogance, as a part of Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, hatred, antagonism, as a part of interlocking systems of hatred, lust, from the lust patterns of the sin nature. That's your thinking. The sin nature dominates the believer through the rejection of rebound, and through negative volition to the Word of God. God gave us the problem-solving device of rebound. In many ways, one of the most important of all. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring us to fellowship with God, restoring us to the filling of the Spirit, restoring us to our spiritual life. The longer you live your life under the control and domination of the sin nature, the sooner you're going to wind up in reversionism. The Holy Spirit dominates the believer's soul by the filling of the Spirit, which is the supernatural power to live the spiritual life of the church age. Attitude toward God and the Word of God is the basis for the contrast that we have in Romans 8, verse 5. That contrast is thinking about the things of the sin nature in contrast to thinking about the things of the Spirit. The thinking of the believer pleases God when the believer is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ through the teaching ministry of the Spirit. When you have the mind of Christ, the Word of God, in your heart, that's when you please God. That's the believer that pleases God. Now, this brought us to a study of a very important doctrine. A wonderful doctrine, a beautiful doctrine, a magnificent doctrine. Doctrine is certainly appropriate for Thanksgiving. Every day should be Thanksgiving for you. And that is the doctrine of mental attitude. We've studied point one. Not to worry, there's point two, and three, and four. We studied definition and description. Mental attitude. Mental attitude is the function of human thought. You see, your thinking is everything. Think. Think. Think, damn it, think. That's the most important thing. Think. What are you thinking? Are you thinking the lust patterns of the sin nature? Sin, human good and evil? Or are you thinking the Word of God, the God-breathed Scriptures? So your mental attitude is what you think at any given time. Therefore, thinking is the battlefield of your soul. That's our verse, Romans 8, verse 5. The believer who is out of fellowship with God thinks the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. That's his thinking. The believer living the spiritual life thinks the things of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the God-breathed scriptures, the Word of God. The greatest battle we have in life is the battle up here in your soul. What are you thinking? The content of your thinking is the most important thing about you. Now, many believers today are thinking the things of the sin nature. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. They have been deceived by the greatest deceiver and liar of all time, Satan himself, a fallen angel who is ruling planet Earth. We have two great power options for the spiritual life God has given to us in the church age. We have the power of God the Holy Spirit, and we're commanded, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking or living your life by the power of the sin nature, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And we have been given another power. Well, you're holding that power in your lap, but it won't do you any good in your lap. You got to get the power of the Scriptures in here. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any Machaira, two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You have a powerful Word of God. And you need to get that powerful Word of God in here, in your thinking. Your thinking. What you really are as a person is what you really think. Not what you appear to be on the surface, not even what you say. We're going to be looking, there's a Proverbs 23, verse 7. You've heard the first part of this many times. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But you need to know all the rest of it. We're going to look at all of it here. See, there's a person who will say, hey, why don't you come on over for dinner? Come on over for dinner. But then it goes on and says, but in his heart, he hates you. So what he said with his mouth wasn't the really him. The real him was the fact he hates you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are commanded to have the same mental attitude which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Bible doctrine is the thinking or the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Your thinking can make you or break you, depending on whether your thought is human viewpoint garbage or divine viewpoint from the God-breathed Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10:12, Galatians 6:3. The difference between living by the sin nature in the cosmic system and living the spiritual life depends on the thought in your soul. And thinking falls into two categories for you as a believer. Either divine viewpoint from the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart, or human viewpoint from living your life in the cosmic system by the sin nature. Divine viewpoint is the thinking of the believer who is positive to God and the Word of God, who is growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and attaining spiritual maturity. The thinking of the spiritually mature believer is different from the generally accepted thought patterns of the world. And therefore, the believer is set apart as unique. When you attain spiritual maturity, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you are unique. And the world, you totally separated from the rest of the world. They haven't seen this. They see very little of it in our world today. But they ought to see it in your life. Your life ought to have tremendous impact to those around you. You're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father because you know Him. You know His essence, His plan, His will, His purpose. You have impersonal love for all mankind. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You have impersonal love for all. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ. He's made Himself at home in your heart. And therefore, on the other side of the coin, you share the happiness of God. You have self-contained happiness every day. Every single day. Self-contained happiness. You share the happiness of God day after day after day because you have fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And when you have that, you are unique. The world doesn't see that. Unbelievers don't see that. Believers in the cosmic system don't see that. Most of the world doesn't see it. So when you have that, they go, wow. Wow. What do you guys have? You have something. I can tell you have something. And whatever you have, I want to have it. You guys, you share the happiness of God every single day. And that happens, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Now, I love to hunt. I grew up loving to hunt and loving to fish. And my dad and uncle would take me hunting. And when I was just a little shaver, only too young, I couldn't carry a rifle. I just wanted to go. I had the go bug. I wanted to go. And so I'd be with my dad and uncle and plodding through snow. They have snow up in Washington. Down here, it's up in top of the mountain, Mount Charleston. But snow in Washington. Snow that gets about up to your waist. And I just follow along my dad and follow in his footsteps and learn everything about hunting. Before I ever carried a rifle. And then finally he gave me a .22 and said, all right, you take this .22. So I had a .22. I wasn't going to shoot any deer with it, but I had a .22. We'd be going along and then there'd be a bunch of grouse up in a tree. Well, no, normally people use shotguns for birds, grouse. I had a .22, and I was told, don't shoot the one on the top, shoot the one on the bottom. Shoot the one on the bottom, he falls down, the others don't see it. Then you can pick the next one up, shoot that one, and the next one, shoot that one. But if you shoot the one on the top, he falls down in front of the rest, and they go, ah! He's shooting at it. Yeah. So I shot my first grouse, boom, down, went the next one, boom. This is pretty fun, boom. Then I go down, pick up the grouse, and it was still kind of moving a little bit. And as I reached down to get the grouse, my uncle threw a rock about that big, landed behind me. I climbed up the tree without a tree being there. And he thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. He couldn't even start talking without laughing and crying. Now, you know what? I don't even know how in the hell I got on this subject, but yeah, I might remember. You know what I'm getting? Well, what is it? We were hunting. See? By the way, that's why you better marry the right one. You better marry the right one, and I married the right one, the rightest one ever. Well, and all that hunting, a lot of people in the church started going hunting with us. And we were way up in northern Nevada in a hot spring. And we're out in the hot spring, and we're out just having a great, great time. Everybody's smiling and laughing, having a glass of champagne. And there's other people there hunting, and they come and says, What do you guys have? You have something. You have something, and it. We would like to have it too. What is it? Well, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ, that He paid the penalty for all of our sins on the cross, and we believe in Him. He gave us the gift of eternal life. We're in His family. We're royal family of God. And He, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you have happiness every day of your life. There's an opportunity to give them the gospel, give them an opportunity to believe in Christ as their Savior. They wanted that. They wanted to have happiness every single day in their life. But whether you're hunting or whether you're going to a restaurant for dinner, and we have restaurants we go, we love going to these restaurants. And everybody in there that works there knows that I'm a pastor. And we've had them come up and say, you know, you it's so much fun when you and your wife and whoever you bring, it's so much fun because you're always smiling. You're always smiling. You're always having a great time. He said, we get all these people come in here and they are just PO'd. That means piss off. They're pissed off about this and that. Why did you do? You change your menu? What did you change your menu for? This isn't right and that's not right and this isn't right and that's not right. He says, you guys come in and you come in and you're happy. You never complain about anything. And they see that. And it's unique. Unique. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you will have unique impact everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, whatever you do. And really, that's God's plan for you. That's His will for you. The difference then between living the sin nature, by the sin nature in the cosmic system, and living the spiritual life depends on what you're thinking in here. Either divine viewpoint from the Word of God you've learned and believed in your heart, or human viewpoint from living in Satan's cosmic system by the sin nature. Divine viewpoint is thinking of the believer who is positive to God, positive to the Word of God. The advancing believer, the growing believer who attains spiritual maturity. The thinking of the spiritually mature believer is different from the generally accepted thought patterns of the world. And therefore, the believer is set apart as unique when he attains spiritual maturity and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Uniqueness is reflected in his thinking, his actions, and the manifestation of virtue love, impersonal love to all mankind. It means you have the royal family honor code on in your soul. The spiritual skills of the spiritual life require the fulfillment of God's divine mandates regarding mental attitude. The divine mandates related to spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, Ephesians 5:18, and the divine mandate related to perception of Bible doctrine, 2 Peter 3:18. Now that brings us to point two, scriptural documentation. Scriptural documentation. First of all, Proverbs 23, but I want you to turn over there. Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7. Everybody's heard verse 6, you just haven't heard all of it. Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7. Proverbs 23, verse 6, for as a man thinks, as a man thinks in his soul, so is he. Now it goes on. And he, this man, says to you, eat and drink. But, this is the big but his heart is against you. You see, what he really is what he thinks in his heart, and he hates you in his heart. That's the real him. Oh, he says to you, eat and drink, like he loves you, and in his heart, he hates you. And that's what this verse is saying. As a man thinks in his soul, in his heart, so is he. And he, this individual, says to you, eat and drink like your friend and love you and all that, but his heart is against you. He hates you. What a person thinks in his soul is what he really is. Not what he says, what he thinks in his soul. That's what he really is. Another passage, point two, Galatians 6, verse 3. Galatians 6, 3. So turn over to Galatians 6, 3. So we went from Old Testament, New Testament. Galatians 6, verse 3. Galatians 6, verse 3. If anyone thinks, here we have it again, mental attitude. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now here, what's the mandate for us? Grow up in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you grow up in grace, you have grace orientation. When you grow up in grace, you realize that God is everything and we are nothing. Now, if you've come to that point and you're thinking that God is everything and you are nothing, if you've come to that conclusion, okay. You are thinking grace. You see, every time I love to pray, I look forward to prayer every single day. And I start out right at the beginning of my prayer, Father, you are everything and I am absolutely nothing. I am nothing. And all that I have and all that I am is because of who and what God is, not who and what I am. If you're impressed with who and what you are, you're arrogant and a loser. It's who and what God is. All that I have and all that I am is because of who and what God is. Now you're thinking grace. So if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. To think that you are something is simply arrogance. To think of yourself in arrogant terms is self-defeat and disastrous. Third passage, Isaiah 55. Now we'll go back to the Old Testament. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Now, when it starts, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And you're probably sitting there going, yes, sir, Pastor Olson, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Like, this isn't Pastor Olson here. And you don't have to call me Lord either. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. The thoughts of God are divine viewpoint thinking. The thoughts of man are human viewpoint. However, the thoughts of God are recorded in the Word of God so that we can know what His thinking is. This verse teaches that what you think determines what you do. What you think determines what you do. Note that thoughts precede ways. It is thinking that determines decision and action, what you do. By processing God's thoughts into our souls, we have the opportunity of living on earth with an entirely foreign attitude to the thinking of the world. The Word of God in our hearts starts a conflict in the soul with human viewpoint, which is not resolved until we reach spiritual maturity and have maximum metabolized doctrine in our heart. Turn over to Romans 12. We're kind of going back and forth, Old Testament, New, Old Testament, New. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. We'll be there before you know it. And if we don't finish it before the rapture, we'll teach it in heaven. Romans 12, 2 and 3. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed. How is this transformation going to take place? By the renewing, the renovation of your thinking. That's what has to change. Your thinking has to change. But be transformed by the renovation of your thinking, so that you may prove what the will of God is, namely that which is divine good, the well-pleasing to God, and the perfect, the status quo of maturity. For I say, through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance, beyond what you ought to think. But think in terms of sound judgment for the purpose of being rational, without illusion, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from doctrine. All right, let's amplify this. Very important passage. One, to be conformed to this world refers to thought confirmation, thinking human viewpoint. To be conformed to this world refers to thought confirmation. You're thinking human viewpoint. You're thinking the thinking of the world, the cosmic system. Two, transformation starts with what you think. Renewing or renovation of your thinking. So transformation starts with what you think. Renovation of your thinking from human viewpoint garbage to divine viewpoint. When we think of ourselves in terms of arrogance, we're quite impressed with who and what we are. Well, you're not on the playing field anymore. Not on the playing field. You're out of bounds. You're out of bounds. And by the way, football. Yeah. What about Washington State football? It sucks. They don't have a defense. If you don't have a defense, you don't deserve to do anything, go anywhere. They're not going to go anywhere. Oh, I guess they qualified for a bowl game, but who's going to watch it? No defense. UNLV might win the national championship. They beat San Jose. Fresno beat Colorado State. UNLV gets to play Boise State again. After they beat Boise State, they will be in the playoffs for the national championship and beat Oregon for the national champion. Oh, Oregon, but UNLV. Okay, we'll get back to out of bounds here. When we think of ourselves in terms of arrogance, we're out of bounds, out of the spiritual life and in the cosmic system. Three, the standard of thinking comes from the God-breathed scriptures. The standard of thinking comes from the God-breathed scriptures. So you see, you have to learn it and believe it in order to think divine viewpoint before it becomes a standard of thinking. Four, Bible doctrine in the heart is designed to eliminate subjective thinking of arrogance. Bible doctrine in the heart is designed to eliminate subjective thinking of arrogance. Five, the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart motivates the believer to think in terms of common sense, rational, and sane divine viewpoint. The Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart motivates you to think in terms of common sense, and common sense is very uncommon today, rational and sane divine viewpoint. You are now thinking the things of the Spirit And you avoid thinking the things of the sin nature and the cosmic system. 6. Neglect or rejection of the Word of God puts the believer in the cosmic system. Neglect or rejection of the Word of God puts the believer in Satan's cosmic system. And only renovation, only a renewing of thought can get the believer out. Neglect or rejection of the Word of God puts the believer in the cosmic system, and only renovation, only a renewing of thinking can get the believer out. 7. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart replaces human viewpoint with divine viewpoint. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart replaces human viewpoint with divine viewpoint. And as this happens, a new mental attitude is formed in your soul. A new mental attitude is formed in your soul. 8. Mental attitude is everything. It is capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness, and it is well pleasing to the Lord. Mental attitude is everything. It's capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness, and it is well pleasing to the Lord. Okay. I gotta shift down. All right, we'll take a break and give you a few. If you're too hot, go outside. And you should have some munchies out there. We'll see you in a few with part 2.